all stand. We'll look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and verse number 18. And this will be our springboard verse and our primary verse as well. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, well, let's back up verse number 16. The Bible says in Luke 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and he, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as, this is a good thing here, and as his custom was, what is our custom? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister. Here, take this. And sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, I like this. This is good news, guys. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, you back up in verse 18. The Bible says toward the last part of verse 18, he says, or middle part, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and here it is, to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, I want to talk tonight, we will start a series tonight, on a hostage no longer. A hostage no longer. Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, God, for your guidance and your direction. I pray, God, for fresh anointing. I pray, God, for wisdom. I pray, God, for you to help me. But fill my mind up. It's weak. But fill my mind up, God, with your knowledge. And I pray, God, you help me to preach your word that will help us to realize we don't have to be a hostage. There's no need to be. We can be free. And I pray and ask God to deliver someone tonight that might be a hostage to some particular situation or circumstance. But I pray, God, that you come by and set them at liberty. Set them at freedom. And for that, God will shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for those who are watching this service live and those who will be watching later. God, bless them and meet their needs too, Father. And we shall thank you. I thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered together in this house, a place of worship. I pray, God, to bless each family that's represented. And I pray, God, we leave tonight. We won't leave defeated, nor discouraged, nor distraught, nor dismantled in our thinking. But I pray, God, we leave with dynamic power that has come through the Holy Spirit of God. Father, help us. And God, if there's anything else that I've left out, meet that need too. And of course, if there's anything between you and I that would hinder my prayer, that would slow up my prayer, that would stop my prayer, I pray, God, to forgive me, hear me, and help me. For it's in your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. A hostage no longer. The Bible says in verse number 18 that Jesus says he came to preach deliverance to the captives. The word captives also means a prisoner of war. It also means or have part of the definition as a spear. So when you think about it, a person that takes a spear and causes somebody to become a prisoner of war. We have an enemy that's come by to make us prisoners of war. In other words, he's come to make us his hostage. Now, the word hostage that we have chosen means a person held captive until captor's demands are met. A person held physically, a person kept against his or her will. Now let me ask you the question. Are you a hostage tonight? What are you talking about, preacher? Is there something that has you captive against your will? It's against your desire. It's against your want. But yet it has you as a captive. It has you as a hostage. It has you bound. It has you shackled. It's holding you back and hindering you from going forward. We have an enemy who wants to keep us as a hostage against our will. There are many of us, and here's that, if you be honest. There are things that you wished that you were free from. Your desire is to be free. But yet, instead of freedom, we are a hostage to that particular situation. Perhaps, my dear friends, and then by the way, number one, all of us are hostages to something. It may be a hostage to discouragement. It may be that we are hostage to depression. It may be that we are hostage to distrust. Or perhaps you are hostage to hurt. Or perhaps you are hostage to some bad habit. Or perhaps you are hostage to unforgiveness. Or perhaps bitterness or fear or jealousy or pride or lust or anger or your emotions or whatever it might be. But yet you and I are held hostage by this particular thing. Question is, what has you hostage? What has you against your will? It's grabbed a hold of you and it's stopping you and I from going forward. We desire freedom. We desire peace. We think about it. Man, I'd love to have peace in my home. Well, I'd love to have peace on my job. Well, I'd love to have peace where I worship. I'd love to have peace on the places that I go. Oh, I long to have this peace. But you know what? There's something perhaps that is a fear, or perhaps it's bitterness, or perhaps it's anger, or perhaps it's a hurt. This hurt has me hostage. And because I've been hurt, because I've been wounded, I cannot go forward. I cannot proceed ahead. Instead, my friend, I find myself being a spiritual prison, a place that I don't want to be. Jesus got good news for us. He says that I've come to preach deliverance to the captive. The person who's held hostage against his or her will. We have an enemy that wants to keep us as a hostage. You know him. Satan. The Bible says in 1 Peter, we're coming back here, but look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Secondly, we have someone who wants to take us hostage, keep us as a hostage. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says to you and I, be sober, clear-minded, be sober, be vigilant, keep awake, because your adversary, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, as a howling lion, walketh about seeking, and that word seeking is a present participle, which means continuously. He's continuously seeking. He's looking for whom he may devour or drown or swallow up or destroy. He goes around looking for somebody to take hostage. Somebody that he can cause to be a captive. Somebody that he can manipulate. Somebody that he can hinder from going forward. He is real. He is alive. And yes, he has power. Yes. But he's looking for somebody who's not sober. Yeah. By the way, the word sober here also in this verse means to abstain from wine. When you are influenced by wine, you are not sober. That means your mind has been weakened, or your mind has been influenced, and it'll cause you to do certain things that you wouldn't normally do. My daughter, Kristen, works at a lawyer's office. And you know what they do? Most of the time, when they have a client, they go out to do what? Drink. If they want to get them to make a certain decision on something, and they're kind of wavering on it, they say, let's have another drink. Why do you want me to have another drink? Because you ain't coming around. Think about what I'm saying. You watch movies on TV, and they be sitting there, and they be talking about, saying, no, I can't do that. No, I'm hesitant on that. Let's, two more drinks right here, please. And then once you get the drink in you, then you start to weaken. Yeah. You'll make decisions you wouldn't normally make. You do certain things you wouldn't normally do. A lot of people have been taken advantage because they've had substance. They've been influenced by some particular alcohol or some beverage that puts you in another a frame of thinking. And then they'll do things and say, I don't know what happened. We know what happened. You were drinking. It influenced you. And the more you drink, the more it influences you. It's a preacher. No, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I was doing that from when I was a kid up until I was 23 years old. I know all about drinking, all kind of stuff. I drank all kind of stuff. It didn't matter what it was. I was drinking it. And I know how it affected me. I know how it influenced me. So now I want all that hogwash about, you know, it calmed me. No, stop it. Stop it. It puts you in another frame of mind is what it does. And when you become another frame of mind, he's looking. I can influence that person. I can cause that person to become a hostage. I can cause that person to be a captive. And the Bible says right here that the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because he says, keep awake, because you have an adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. He wants to cause you and I to be a hostage. Before you know it, you are a hostage to hurt. That's one. You get hurt. Well, now you don't trust nobody. You're a hostage. You can't have a meaningful relationship because of your past hurt. And that past hurt, and I'm talking about in any way, whether it be a family member, in a relationship between a man and a woman, or whatever the case might be, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, so now you don't trust. And that carries over, my friends, into your workplace. It carries over to your home. It carries over, my friends, to the place of worship. It carries over. All of a sudden, you can't trust nobody. Say, I've been hurt. And I've been hurt not just once or twice, but I've been hurt numerous times. So therefore, this hurt has now caused me to be a hostage. And that's exactly where the devil wants to keep us at. A hostage. But when you have a hostage and somebody that's causing that person to be a hostage, what do you need? Normally, you have a hostage negotiator. A negotiator comes by, he arranges or brings about by discussion a settlement of terms. The hostage negotiator comes in and says, well, what do you want? What will it take? So I know I'm going, I'm about to have a spell. What does it take for this person to no longer be a hostage to this situation? What can we do to remedy this situation? Well, see, we have a negotiator, and the negotiator is also somebody that the Bible terms as a mediator. You know who that person is? Jesus. Now, watch this. Okay? Go with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. This is the introduction, and we're going to pick up more next Tuesday. But look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, for there is one, not many, but there is one God, not many gods. There is one God. There's one true and living God. The Bible says there's one God and there's one what? Mediator. And the Bible says a go-between God and men, and that is the man who? Christ Jesus. He is our mediator between God and man, but also, my friends, he's our propitiation, or what I want to call our negotiator when it comes to sin. Look, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 John 2 and verse number 2. The Bible, back up verse 1. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, my little children, these things write out unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. He is our propitiation. He is the one, my dear friends, that negotiated a contract by which none of us has to continue to be a hostage. And when you are no longer a hostage, that means that you are now free. What was the penalty? What was the negotiating terms that would cause us no longer to be a hostage? It was the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ got upon the cross, and when he died for our sins, that means, my friends, that we are now no longer slaves. We are now free. We do not have to be held hostage by any particular sin or any particular problem. He says that we are free. So, preacher, I need a verse. Not a problem. Look, the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse number 12. Romans 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says this in Romans 6 and verse number 12. Thank you, Father. Look, it says in Romans 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 14. For sin should not have dominion or rule or power over you. For you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Now let me pause here. A lot of times when a person has been taken hostage, the person who has them captive, the captor, as long as they spend time with the captor, a lot of times they begin to have a certain, something happens where they don't see that person as a captor anymore. They begin to see that person as somebody that, well, I understand why they're doing what they're doing. And a lot of times, as the longer they stay with that captor, a lot of times they don't even really want to be free. I mean, if you study, especially in the 70s, it was a lot of hostage taken back in the 70s and the 60s, but a lot of it in the 70s. And a lot of times, like the one girl, Patty Hearst, I believe was her name. She was the one who was the daughter of the famous newspaper person. And wasn't that her name, I believe it is? And then she had become, they had taken her hostage. And the next thing they know, she's dressed up robbing the banks too. And they couldn't believe what had happened. They had indoctrinated her to such a way that affected her mind and affected her thinking. So she was a hostage, but now she was now helping. I'm about to have a Holy Ghost spell. She is now helping the people, my friend, who has her hostage. And what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying this, that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty. He has freed us. We no longer have to be a slave to depression. We don't have to be a slave, my friend, to discouragement. We don't have to be a slave to hurts or any of those things. Christ said, I've come to make you free. But instead of walking out in freedom, we're still standing there, yoked up with this which is our captor, and now, my friends, we are walking alongside of him. And don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. Well, I've been hanging my hurt so long, the hurt says you should be hurt. And you have a right to feel the way you feel. Because you were seriously hurt. It's true. You were hurt. And even though you've been saved and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the Bible says that you have the ability and the power to be able to forgive, we have chosen not to forgive. Because that hurt that has us captive continuously tells us you deserve to feel this way. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They don't deserve for your praise and for blessings upon them. What they deserve is for fire to come down from heaven. Matter of fact, not even fire, a lightning to come by and strike them. Not once, but 39 times. What's happening here? Now we are still captive. We're still hostages. But we don't have to be. We do not have to be a hostage no longer. Because Christ took care of all that. And now we have the ability and the power to walk out in freedom. But instead, we're still standing there in that cage. The door has been unlocked. And all we got to do is step out. But instead of stepping out of that place of imprisonment, we stay there. Week after week, month after month, year after year, then before you know it, my friends, we've gone from being 15 years old to now we're 25, now we're 35, now we're 55, now we're 75, and we look back and say, what in the world has the time gone? I'm still trapped by this which has me a hostage. And we don't have to be a hostage no longer. We can be free. But the enemy keeps telling us, you can't be free. You've been a hostage for too long. There's no way you can have this freedom that you desire to have. But Jesus, hey, I've already paid for it. I've taken care of it. You have the power and the ability to be free. Question. Will we walk out or stay locked up in an unlocked prison? Because all you got to do is push it open and step out. Because you're no longer a hostage. The enemy has been defeated. Christ has taken care of that. Look, the Bible says again in Romans 6 verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion, shall not have rule, shall not have power over you. For you are under the law but under grace. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, the slaves of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free, being made free from sin, ye have become servants of righteousness. Folks, we are free. Why are we still standing there in that prison? Why are we still in that cage? Well, we don't have to be. We don't have to be. But the enemy comes by and tells us all this craziness, all this nonsense. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. I can't tell you how many young people I see as I go through Facebook that are my friends on Facebook, and they're so discouraged, and they want to have a boyfriend, or they want to have well, the guys don't say much on there about their situation, but the girls most, they want to open up. I want to have a boyfriend. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants to be. I don't have no friends. I'm by myself. I'm lonely. What's going on here? We've got an enemy who comes by and tells them all this stuff. And we listen to it day after day. And then all of a sudden we start to believe. The Bible says that he's a liar. Amen. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. He started the whole mess. He stands in the Garden of Eden and telling Eve, God's trying to hold something back from you. He's trying to stop. You know what? Hey, it's a good thing. He didn't say, go ahead. He lied. Yes, sir. We believe that lie. Then there we are, hostages. Hostages. But Jesus says, you know what? Flip back over. This is just the introduction tonight. He says here in verse number 18, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. The word preach means to proclaim. It means a public crier. It means he hiding. He's saying it publicly. He's crying out, hey, I've come to let you know something. Deliverance to the captives. That word deliverance, hallelujah. It means this, my friends, released from bondage or imprisonment. The word captive means prisoners of war. To be a captive, to be held by a spear. Jesus says this, I've come to let you know that you are delivered from captivity. No longer do you have to be a hostage. He cries it out. All the time. From the Word of God. Are we angry? Are we held? Are we a hostage to anger? It has a hold of us. You know? I mean, it has a... It's like a spear. It has a... I mean, it's... And we're sitting there. Well, all you got to do... If that spear is sitting there... Come for me, Brett. If that spear is sitting there... He has that here. And I'll stand right there. We'll stand right here. He had that thing out. He's pointing. And we just stand there. And God said, you know what to do? I'm scared. I mean, he gonna hurt me. No, you know what to do. What do you need to do? You need to get that guy in his hand like that, man. Come up in there. Bam! You know? And it feel good, too. To pop the devil a couple of times. Come on back up. That feel good. Come here, sir. I mean, he got that thing there. I mean, you kick that hand like this. Come up in there quickly. And then right there. Or if the enemy comes by and say, you're not going nowhere, hold it like a knife. Like this. He comes there and say, you know what? You're a captive of anger. You'll be an angry person. You'll be a whatever that might be. When he comes at you, my friends, you grab his hand and come back and bring it in. Right there. Let's do that quickly. He comes back and right there. Then hit him there. Then hit him there. I'm sorry, man. And you know what? You'll feel good when you begin to give the enemy a taste of his own medicine. But don't just stand there and let him hold it on you. So I'm tired of this. I've been holding my hand up for 12 years. For 12 years, I've been standing like this. I won't move. Life is going by me, and I won't move. Folks, we all checking out here in a little bit. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in no misery. I don't want to live in defeat and discouragement or none of that stuff. Because Jesus came by and told me, you don't have to be. And he gives us ways out. We're going to talk about this later on in the weeks to come about the various situations that we might have as a hostage. But God gives us ways out. And all we got to do, my friends, is follow his direction, follow his advice, and we'll walk around in freedom. And folks are wondering, why are you so happy? Why do you get that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? Don't you know what's going on at your house? Don't you know what's going on? I like what Patrick was saying a few moments ago about his job. You know, and as he was talking, I'm like, well, don't that affect him too? He was saying, pray for the guys on my job, you know, because they're going to be there. I'm like, well, don't he work there too, don't he? Well, apparently, he's not worrying about, he's not a hostage to worry in that situation. Because, by the way, that ain't the first job he had. When I met you, you was working at LB Steel. You know, and that's when the Lord was trying to get Billy to go full-time on the mission. Billy wouldn't, and they shut the whole place down, closed the whole building down. They lost his job because Billy wouldn't go full-time. But anyway, but you know what? But you know what? He got another job after that. I mean, this was probably better than when he's at LBC, I guess. I'm not maybe the people, the pay, you know, looks pretty good. He rides around motorcycles, 3, 4, 5. But what are you saying, though? He's not a hostage to worry in that situation. What has you hostage tonight? What has you captive? The good word from the good word is this. I've come to preach, to proclaim deliverance. You're released from this bondage. You're no longer captive. You're no longer a prisoner of war. And by the way, notice what he said in verse number 21. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. By the way, that was 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago. Question, why are we still a hostage? We don't have to be. Let's come talk to the Lord. And we're going to deal with specific situations of different subjects of what has us a hostage and how we can be free. God has a way for us. But let's come and talk to God tonight. So, Lord, start tonight by helping me to realize I don't have to be a hostage. Father, thank you for your many blessings. And I just pray and ask God, as we're setting the stage, we're setting up the situation to help us to see that we don't have to be a hostage, whether it be to hurts or to jealousy or to anger, to pride or whatever it might be. I have no idea. But I do know this, Father, you have a solution for us, and you've come to let us know we don't have to be a hostage. Perhaps God is the one to come and say, thank you, Lord. Yeah. So I'm saying, thank you, Lord. I'm not a hostage any longer to this particular situation. I was before. Maybe a year ago this time, I was a hostage or something. But I'm no longer a hostage to that. Thank you, Lord. Or perhaps somebody would come and say, Lord, I'm going to talk to you about this particular situation that does have me a hostage. I want to be free. I want to be free from it. I don't want to be locked by it or held up by it. I pray, God, they come and talk to you. Or perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that knows somebody that is a hostage to a certain situation. And they need freedom. They need deliverance. And they want to come and pray for that person. I pray, God, they come and talk to you about that situation and about that individual. Pray on my behalf. Perhaps, God, that someone just want to come talk about some other matter that's on their heart. It has nothing to do with the message or anything I talked about, but there's something else they want to talk to you about tonight. I pray they come. And of course, God, there's one among us tonight that's not sure of their salvation. I pray, God, they come let me know or someone else know. We'll show from the Word of God how to be birthed, born again, placed into your family. And for that, God will thank you. Well, we heard the songs, we heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. What's your son's name? We pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you can come talk to the Lord for a few moments tonight.